I love this psalm, as many of you. It is a favorite one for you. It starts with the words, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Well, that word is appropriate in every age. It's certainly appropriate for today. We are grieved often and troubled by the promotion and by the acceptance of the ungodly and of wicked people. And it seems no matter what they prosper and where they're going and what they're doing, it discouraged David in another psalm where he looked and saw, how can it be that I'm trying to live faithfully for God and going through great strife? It doesn't seem fair, Lord, that I look at the ungodly. They're rich. They don't seem to have trouble. They prosper in many things. And it grieved the heart of David. And so he brought that matter to the Lord. And the Lord opened his eyes when he went into God's presence and had clarity from the Word. And he realized the end of the wicked. And therefore he was able to write in this psalm, "Let us not be fretful. Let us not be upset by the prosperity of evildoers. And certainly not to be envious of their position because of their work that they are doing. They will bring the reward and the judgment of God upon them for their sin." But a tremendous psalm this is to encourage the heart of the Lord's people. Verse 18, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Ending our reading, please, there at that verse, and I'm going to be thinking with you today upon verses 23 and 24. And the idea and the subject matter today is God's planned steps for your life. God's planned steps for your life. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, it has been our privilege to be in the house of God this morning, to have health and strength and soundness of mind. We remember many, Lord, who can't be here because of their sickness, their infirmity. Bless them where they are. Remember our sister Nora today. Comfort her heart. And be with Jenny today also, Lord, and others who at this point in time, their hearts are with us, but their bodies are weak. Strengthen them. And, O God, we ask very much today that we'll be conscious of thy presence with us in our time. We dare not take for granted the opportunity we have. For Lord, we do not know when this precious opportunity of meeting around the Word will be taken from us one way or another. Lord, I pray that there would be a devotion of heart, soul, and mind, and that we would be prepared to place on the altar for Christ everything that hinders our walk with Him. Lord, bless us now this morning. Fill me with thy Spirit, for I cannot bring anything to these dear people of myself. I have no strength, Lord. I have nothing. And yet the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, has everything. And therefore, strengthen our hearts, I pray. Be with us now this morning. Lord, stir our hearts. Take away apathy. Apathy, what a curse that is for the Christian in our daily growth. Lord, may we be on fire for God. Help us to walk in holiness and truth. Dear Lord, be with us this morning, I pray. In our Savior's worthy name we ask. Amen. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. God is intimately concerned with the pathway that we as His children are taking. There's an expression that we have come to use called walking the road of life. And we understand what it means. It's talking about a person's experiences in life. It's speaking about how we live day by day. Sometimes our walking of the road of life will be easy. Other times it will be hard. Sometimes, quite frankly, it's discouraging to the point of giving up. It can be that hard. Other times it will be very pleasant. Sometimes the walking of the road of life for us will be crystal clear and we can see for miles in front of us. And other times, like yesterday afternoon driving on the 401, the rain is so intense and heavy and the fog is rolled in that you cannot see the vehicle that is only a matter of feet in front of you. There are times when our life seems to be uncertain, times of darkness, where we're not sure where we're going, we're not even sure how, what stage of the path we're on. I was driving yesterday afternoon in a subdivision, and a car in front of me slowed. It slowed, and then it stopped, and then it moved forward a little bit again, and then stopped again. And there was uncertainty in the driver. No signal was put on to pull over to the side of the road. And then I could see kind of fistling. It looked like they were looking at a map, and they weren't sure where they were going. They eventually turned right off the street. But it reminded me of someone who is a bit double-minded, not sure whether I'm going to go forward, backward, reverse, left, or right. Sometimes that's the way you and I can be in our daily walk, uncertain of the way forward. You know, the Christian experience, if we are not sure of our footing, if we are not sure or certain of God's direction and His will in our life, then we will find ourselves in this kind of permanent vacillation. It's like idling. It's like the hamster running on the wheel. There seems to be some energy exerted, but we're not making much progress. Some of you will be walking on a treadmill for exercise, and you will walk for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but you don't go anywhere. You're just making movement. You know, as believers, we may be sure of our eternal destination, but friend, outside of Christ, you are not sure of heaven. I could only say this to you lovingly and kindly, that outside of the Lord, the only destination for you presently that you can be certain of, and that is the destination of a lost eternity. What is your pathway today? What is your direction? Are you walking the road of this life in the will of God and for His greater glory? The Lord tells us in His Word that we are, as Christians, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And that simply means that we have responsibility. And we have responsibility in this life not to just be careless or haphazard about how we live. The Lord has included those words, fear and trembling. And that combination of words in that context, why, it's very important. It means that we're not supposed to take this without great seriousness. We are to think about our life. We are to think about the steps that we are taking. We are to consider carefully the direction we're going and the destination we're heading to. And on that journey, we are to, with fear and trembling before a holy God, weigh up what we are doing. Weigh up how we are walking. Weigh up how we're going to get to that final destination. We are responsible creatures in the eyes of God, and we will one day give account for our actions. Yet at the same time, we also believe in a sovereign God, one who has a purpose for our lives. What a comfort that is, believer. We are not purposeless. We are on a road that God has ordained for us. We are going in a direction that is full of the purpose and the mind and the will of God for us. And there is great satisfaction in that. I know this truth, that one day God will complete that which He has purposed for me. I may make many mistakes on the way, which I have and which I will. But I know this, that I worship a sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning of my life. And somehow I have to fit into that my understanding that I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. We say, how can you do that if God is sovereign over here? Well, when you come up with the answer to that question, let me know. It is one of the dilemmas for a Christian. How can I put this together? God oversees all things and knows my pathway. The Lord is sovereign who has chosen me in Christ before the foundation of the world. A thought too wonderful for me. A thought I cannot comprehend. And yet the Lord says to me, you are a responsible being upon whom my commandments I have placed. And an obligation to live in obedience to my will. So we're not just free running. You're not just converted to Christ and then allowed to live out the rest of your life as you see fit. That will satisfy you. And believer, I say this to you genuinely and gently. We are creatures, characters. We are people that are obligated before the Lord to obey Him. And we are to walk in His Spirit and in the mind and with the mind of Christ. And how can we do that if we set aside His Word? The Word of God is the compass for our life. The Word of God is the manual that we must live our life by. If you break it or go outside of it, do not be surprised, my friend, when things begin to crumble. Things begin to get dark and uncertain. I know the path sometimes can be hard, but there is great comfort in trusting and resting in a sovereign God who knows the end from the beginning. It gives us a sense of boldness. It definitely gives us a sense of confidence. And we will persevere unto the end. We will persevere for the glory of God Himself. I want us to think, therefore, this morning about God's guidance of our steps as a believer. We know and have noticed from these verses the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It tells us that God has a plan. He talks about the steps of a good man. You will notice the word good is in italics. It means it's not in the original. It was put in to help us understand, because the word man in itself in that rendering means an upright man, a righteous person, a valiant man or a warrior. And the idea is this, that there is a prevailing by increasing in strength as we go forward. Now, trying to put all those words in the definition, the translator simply said the steps of a good man, a righteous man, a man who knows the Lord, a man whose life is connected with God through Christ. This is what is being talked about here. Now, we know ourselves we are not good. We know that we are not upright, righteous people by our own doing and of our own selves. But the righteousness that is being talked about here is that which has been imputed to us through our Lord Jesus. We have received that imputed righteousness by His grace. He has granted that to us, and so now I am seen by God through my Savior by His righteousness. That is a very comforting subject and thought to this sinful man. It's a comforting thought to you, believer, who are left to yourselves. You will self-destruct. But the Lord has rescued us, and He has placed upon all His people the blessing of His righteous Son. It says here that the steps of this righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That speaks to me again about the plan that God has for our life. The word ordered, it has several aspects to it. Each one of them, it brings greater satisfaction to the believer. It means to firmly establish. And so the Lord has secured the steps of His people by His divine plan. He has secured our steps. And again, this introduces the idea, well, how can I reconcile these two thoughts? Here I am walking in my everyday life, going to do my work, going to the marketplace, going wherever I'm going. And how does this work out of God ordering my steps? Friend, it is understanding this great truth by faith and knowing and trusting that as my life is held in His hands, He is telling me, I am ordering, I am calling for the steps that you are to take. They are firmly established in the mind and sovereign purpose of God. The word also means to direct in the right way, so that we can be assured that God has a personal will for us. He does not look upon us as one great mass of people, but He looks upon us as individual members of His body. And each member is vitally important. There is no part of the body of Christ that is redundant, that can be just cut off and discarded. That's not the way the Lord works. Every believer is part of the greater purpose that God has for the body. Friend, do not think of yourself as meaningless or of unimportant matter. No, you are vitally important to the Lord. He has something for you to accomplish, something for you to do. And maybe in your age or infirmity, you're thinking, but what can I do? Friend, the greatest thing that you can do is to pray for the work of God. That in your time of being set aside, the Lord wants you to commune with Him. He wants you to pray because prayer moves the hand of God. You see, He directs us in the right way. A man's heart deviseth his way, the proverb says, but the Lord directeth his steps. Our steps are the delight of God and the direction of the Lord. But there's something further this word means. It is to provide for. So we have the idea of firmly establishing, of directing in the right way, and of providing for the needs of. We can be assured today that as you are a righteous person, saved by the grace of God, the Lord has promised to provide for you, to give you structure and order in His great purpose. The word order is used also in another part, several places in the Scripture, but in 2 Chronicles, in the time of Hezekiah, when he was reestablishing the service in the work of God, the word was that he set in order all the things that pertain to God's work in the specified place where they were to go. So it was this very important point that when things had become run down in the temple during Hezekiah's day, and people had drifted off and they were doing that which was right in their own eyes, the temple worship had been neglected. But Hezekiah, by God's Spirit, was bringing that back together again. And so he went to the scriptures and he found out, well, where are these things supposed to be exactly? I cannot just place them wherever I want them to be. They must be set in an order, and in a divine order. And that's the same word that we have used very specifically, methodically, carefully set in place. And the Lord orders carefully, specifically, methodically, our steps in our life. The ordering of these steps that we talk about, why we look at it in two ways. It can be seen in the ministry of the Church of Christ in general, and then individually. Well, how do we think about that collectively? Well, we are praying, I do as a minister, our elders do, you as a congregation, that the Lord would lead us forward, that we'll be a powerful witness in this community. We are praying that God would lead us forward to know how the best way is that we can be a light to shine in a dark place at Nielsen and Finch. How can we be a witness in Scarborough? How can we be a witness in the city of Toronto? We're asking the Lord to lead us and to order our steps in that way. Because one thing is certain. We do not want to do anything that's going to bring dishonor by our bad steps. It'll dishonor the Lord's name. We need to be praying the Lord would keep us. Begins to make you wonder at times how the outside really judges or looks upon the people of God on the inside of a church. Maybe the reputation of a church has grown in society over the years. Well, that's just a divisive body. All they do is fight among themselves, and there have been splits after splits, and that's dishonoring to God, and it certainly is a bad testimony in the community. I was speaking to a young pastor recently, and he's received a call to a church not in our immediate fellowship down in Nova Scotia. And he knows that going to that church, it has had a history of several splits that occurred. And he knows that in going into that, he's got a big task in front of him to try to overcome that by God's grace and help, so that the community will not just marginalize or sweep away the testimony of this church. And that's been sadly the case in so many fellowships over the years. Because what we do on the inside, it affects on the outside in a far greater way than we know. We wonder, what would the assessment of those who have any knowledge of our ministry, what would that be on the outside? And are they legitimate complaints that they would have? Have there been things we have done or said or involved in that are going to bring reproach upon the body of Christ? We must be conscious of these things, and as a corporate group, say, Lord, please purify us. Please, Lord, show us by your Spirit the things that are not pleasing, so that we might honor and bring glory to the Lord in our public testimony. But this only takes a little step further when we think about the individual Christian, because if our testimony individually and our steps are being marred, well, they wonder, well, what church does that person say they attend? And think, oh, is that what those people are like there? And so, friend, you as an individual believer have a great responsibility, as I do. Job 31 verse 4 says, "Doth he not see my ways and count all my steps?" The Lord is looking at us. He's watching our lives. The Lord counts us in many ways. He counts the hairs that are upon our heads. He knows the minute details about our lives. And he certainly counts the steps that we take in our life. And when you think about it, from the time of our conception, the countdown of our steps commenced. The days, the hours, the minutes that we have on this earth. For as it is appointed unto man once to live, so it is appointed unto him once to die. We don't know how many of those steps we have yet to live in this life. And it should bring some solemnity to our direction. It certainly should bring us to the point where we do not live as if these things are unimportant or it will never face us. We have to realize, friends, that if we're going to honor the Lord with the days that He has given to us, if we're going to please Him by the steps that we are taking, there is a huge responsibility upon our minds. We cannot just push these things away. We would pray, Lord, monitor my steps, each one. Lord, teach me to number my days, as Moses prayed. Lord, teach me to number my steps. You know, no matter which way that we think we are going to go, God has a purpose for us that sometimes is unknown to us. And in the days of our unknown direction, be sure of this, my friend, that the Lord is the one who knows all things about us, and He carries us. The Lord does all things well. He not only knows our steps, but He watches over them. He orders them. Yet can all this lead to kind of a careless or maybe a fatalistic attitude in how we're going to live our life? I think it could. It could if we allowed ourselves to be deceived. But when we combine all the scriptural teaching together, you will find and be, I believe, abundantly clear in your own heart that the mysterious connection that there is between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, that we are to be about our own business. We are to take the things of God and His commands carefully, and we are to walk in a manner that is not going to be negligent of our duty, but very responsible for what God has put upon us. Keep in mind that if everyone knew of the Lord's sovereign plan for life, or if anyone did, it would be a man like David. King David communed with the Lord very intimately. And yet, you know, he prayed, Lord, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What a great prayer. Christian, believer, memorize that Psalm 119, 133. Commit that to your heart and pray it every day. Pray it through the day. Say, Lord, order my steps, every one of them, in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me, have control over my life. For some, it may leave the question of the path of your life unanswered. What do I mean? Because you just cannot seem to see clearly God's hand. And at least you don't understand why certain things are happening to you, or why your course in life seems to be so much different than someone else. You may look and observe and say, someone else seems to have an easy pathway, certainly a lot easier than mine. Why is it, Lord, that you have places upon me? Why is it, Lord, that my steps are different than someone else's and mine seem to be so much more difficult? Well, before you come to make that judgment, you need to stop and realize that just because someone else's life looks like it's going well and all is rosy, you don't know what it's like until you walk in their shoes. You don't know what their struggles are. You do not know what their temptations are. You do not know what their burdens are. So be careful before making that assumption. But also know this, that The same God that has purposed their life is the same Lord that purposes your life. My friend, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So the Lord has a plan clearly shown to us in this word, but also we see the Lord's pleasure here. It says, and He delighteth in His way, in the way of the godly man. The Lord takes great pleasure in the way of His submissive children. He takes great pleasure with the steps of His only begotten Son. Psalm 1 tells us of the way of the godly man. It is not the way of the wicked. And when we think about the beloved Son of the Lord, His well-pleased Son, Jesus Himself said, I do always those things that please Him. But you know, the greatest expression, I believe, of divine love and mercy is the fact that God was pleased when His Son was bruised on the cross. Isaiah 53, verse 10. And when the Lord put Him to grief, He put His only begotten Son to grief and pain and anguish and suffering and the horrible passion that He went through on the cross and in Gethsemane. And He did that, friend, because of His love for you, of His love for me. And He brought that divine judgment upon His only begotten Son. He watched the steps. He planned the steps of His only begotten Son. And the Lord doing that same planning, He is overseeing the steps of His own people through Christ. We are told in the Scriptures that we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And it means that the Lord purposed from eternity to covenant a people unto His Son, for whom Christ would die. And those of His people, those who are truly saved and born again by God's grace, the Lord is very interested in the steps that will lead to our salvation for many of us that have already led that path. Friend, if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, God has you here in this service today, not by mistake. You're not listening to this message over the internet by accident. I believe that God has purposed and planned that events in your life have brought it together so that you find yourself here today listening to the Word of God. Why? For the Lord is drawing you by His grace. He's drawing you and leading your steps to the point of your salvation. He is interested in those steps. He is purposing and planning them. And then once a person comes to Christ, our sanctification is very much in the forefront of the mind of the Spirit, and we are ordained by God to walk in His way. And here again is evidence that God is delighted in the steps of His people because He has ordained them, planned them, purposed them from before the foundation of the world. Whatever the Lord has purposed for us, friends, it will come to pass. And it's for His own pleasure and purpose that we are being conformed and made like unto His Son. Sanctification is that process of our growing, developing more and more like unto Christ. How is the process going in your life today, friend? Believer, ask yourself, am I closer to the Lord now than I was 6 months ago, last year at this time? Can I notice definite growth in my progress in grace? Or has something set me back? Am I standing in an idle position? Be careful, because water that does not move will eventually stagnate. We pray that God would help us going forward. He's interested in our prayer life, in our supplication. God is interested that our footsteps bring us to the place of prayer. That our footsteps are with a desire and a guidance to be in prayer with God's people. Well, most certainly being in prayer on your own, in the silence of your own fellowship, that's very important. We know that. That is our daily quiet time with God. The Lord is interested in our praying. And He wants that our steps will be guided to take us to the place of prayer, to the place where God's people are communing with Him. The Lord's also interested in the steps of our serving Him. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, we're told that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching. Years ago, in a prayer meeting, I was told that I said it pleased God by the preaching of foolishness to save them that believe. Dr. McClellan doesn't ever let me forget that point, and it may be true in some cases, but the correct word is the foolishness of preaching. What it is, what we are doing here today, a congregation of people gathered, one man standing up here, giving you a lecture from God's Word or a sermon or a message. We pray it's a message from God. But the very format of this is looked upon by the world as being, what are these people, crazy? Spending a couple of hours in the church building, listening to some man teach them from the Bible. But it's through this very simple method and this very despised method. It is not by the foolishness of singing that God has been pleased to save souls. It's not by the foolishness of church programs. It's not by the foolishness of how many other things we can do, but the Lord specifically said, it is the preaching of His Word. Friend, this is very important. That's why in Protestant churches, the pulpit remains in the center. And the pulpit is a place to be protected and guarded. Why? Because we're dealing with eternal matters. We're dealing with solemn truth. We're dealing with the serious things of God. And that's why it cannot be made light of. The Lord is interested in the steps of our service. How are we handling? How are we caring for? How are we guarding and protecting the things He has placed within our hands? God has put us in trust with His Word, in trust with the Gospel. This is how we are to take these things and consider them seriously. You know, our service for God can sometimes be misunderstood and confusing to other people who look on. You think about Joseph. He went into Egypt, taken prisoner, sold out by his brothers, taken as a prisoner in Potiphar's house. But we're told there that God blessed him and all the work that he did. I don't know how Joseph himself fully responded to this, whether he was very happy about going there. I could hardly imagine he was. He was a sensible, a reasonable man. But he also knew this, that God's providence was greater and above the steps that he was taking in his life. And so Joseph saw by God's direction, he found himself in Potiphar's house, and he worked for the Lord, and he did what he could do. But it got worse, because he went from there to the prison. And in prison, after 2 years, he was forgotten by someone he helped. His ticket out, he hoped. But the Lord had yet more things to teach Joseph, more things for him to understand. And God was, though intimately concerned with the service of His servant in that place. And friend, when you don't make sense of life, trust in the Lord. And know that He is doing according to His divine plan. Enoch, we are told in Hebrews 11, had a testimony that he pleased God. His life, his service, his steps were honoring to God. And so I ask this question to ourselves today. How is it with us? Are our steps today pleasing the Lord? Are our steps honoring to Him in what we do and where we go in what we watch, in what we listen to? Are these things all for the Lord's honor? Finally and briefly, the Lord's divine protection. Because he says here in this psalm, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, once a person has experienced the power of justifying grace, saved, they can never be lost. For the work that God does, he does perfectly. He does completely. They shall not fall away because of self-determination. No. But because the Lord upholds us in our way. And though we fall, and sometimes we fall into sin, sometimes we fall into dishonor, but the Lord upholds us and puts us back on the course, back on the way again. And we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God by the way in which we go. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. As you will know, if you've been attending the church for any time, we've been doing some studies in Hebrews and chapter 10. We have spent several weeks on this. The final verse of chapter 10, 39, is a summary of two striking pathways. It's a striking contrast between the lost and the saved, between the false professor and the true believer. And the apostle here says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, to hell and destruction. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul." We are not of a certain type, but we are of another type. We are not of the lost going down away from God to be destroyed in hell. Praise God, we have been delivered from that by the Lord's great grace in our life. We are of them that believe to the saving of our soul. We are of them that have faith and have been given the gift of faith. And you see, my friend, the Lord knows us, and he has divine pleasure over the pathway that his saved children walk on today. We are not of the ungodly. We are not of the way of the world. And therefore, friends, our lives should send forth a perfume to bring glory and honor to the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. We are kept by the Lord's great grace. And sometimes in our life it will be puzzling and dangerous, maybe fearful. But the Lord knows, and he oversees. You know, we have examples of many of God's people that fell in the Bible. You think of Abraham, the mighty man of God. He fell. Samson fell. David fell, and so did Peter. And so have many of us. And though the falling of God's people has degrees to it, some are, maybe we could say, worse than other situations, yet let us understand clearly that no matter, we are not utterly cast down. We are not cast down to be cast out, to be with those who are in perdition. The Lord has us in his hand. As we were leaving the service last Sunday morning, Mrs. Puccini said to me, because I was speaking on this verse in Hebrews 10, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, verse 31, and what a situation that is. But she was able to say, "I am happy. I am not afraid to be in the hands of God." And that's such a true statement. Because the Lord keeps us as his own, and underneath us are the everlasting arms of the eternal God. We have nothing to be afraid of. We have everything to rejoice in. And God's divine pleasure is upon us. And we know him. And today, friend, we love him. And so whether your time now is painful or pleasing, rest in Him, that He knows what He's doing, and trust in the Lord, and delight in Him, for He has planned, He is in control, and He will bring to completion. The hymn writer said, "Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me." We're going to close our service today by singing a hymn. You'll not find it in our hymnal. It's in our old blue hymnal that we have. You don't have one of those. You'll have to watch the words on the screen today. This is a hymn by Horatius Bonner, Scottish minister. If ever you can read any material by this man, it is most devotional and helpful. And he wrote several hymns, and this one is precious and I believe appropriate for our subject today. It says, "Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be, O lead me by Thine own right hand. Choose out the path for me." We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, 5, and 7. Let's stand, please, to sing. Please, in prayer. Not mine the choice in things or great or small. Be Thou my guide, my guard, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. Lord, today we pray Thou will take our steps and guide them, Lord, unmistakably. We pray that our faith will be increased to see where we cannot see. And our faith will be strengthened, Lord, to meet every issue of life. So bless us now today, we pray. Let the word of truth sink into every heart. I pray for those who are unsaved this morning. Lord, bring them to Christ, we ask, that they might taste and see that the Lord is good. So hear our prayers now. Be with us for the remainder of this day, the afternoon. Keep us in the Spirit on thy day and bring us back again to thy house tonight. Hear our prayers, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.